Welcome to Journal Club for January 26th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. You know, here on Journal Club, we spend the majority of our time looking at the papers of researchers who set out to prove something and then did it. Authors who formulated a plan, executed that plan, and got exactly the results that we're hoping for. But in rare cases, we come across a paper that showcases the complete opposite. A team of researchers who tried and failed. And there's often just as much to learn from this latter group as the former. Today's paper is all about hospital waiting rooms, specifically ER waiting rooms, and the triage mechanisms that hospitals use to categorize and prioritize their patients. These triage systems are not exactly high-tech. They're manual, simple, and rule-based. There's no AI, there are no optimization algorithms, there's no queuing theory at play here, so the researchers set out to build an AI that could analyze the patients being served and prove that the old manual systems were failing to produce the desired results. They were seemingly convinced that these kinds of older rule-based systems would lead to some groups of patients that were chronically underserved and others that were overserved, but they ended up proving the opposite. That sometimes, simple rule-based systems can have emergent properties that are complex and nuanced and a perfect fit for the problem space. And that by stacking instances of these rule-based processes together, you can end up with a system that could hold its own with the most sophisticated technologies available. So today, I thought we'd take the opportunity to deep dive on some simple, old-school systems. Let's see if we can figure out what makes them so incredibly effective and why they continue to last. If we're lucky, we'll be able to glean something that we can take away and apply to our own work, something that we can use to make the systems we build more effective, simpler, and more elegant. We need to start by going back, way back. Before the advent of formal triage systems, hospital emergency rooms were, in a word, chaos. They were easily overwhelmed by patient influx, and this led to significant inefficiencies and worse outcomes for their patients. In the absence of any structured prioritization methods, emergency rooms were largely run on either a first-come, first-served basis or the subjective judgment of staff at reception. And the consequences were predictable. Critically ill patients waited too long for care, while patients with minor ailments consumed up hospital resources. As healthcare systems evolved and the demand for emergency services increased, the need for a more systematic approach became apparent. So hospital administrators looked to battlefields. The concept of triage was originally developed for the theater of war, where medics had to make rapid decisions about which wounded soldiers needed immediate attention and which could wait. This is the concept that was taken and ported to civilian healthcare. A number of different triage techniques emerged, which led to the creation of structured triage systems and eventually widespread frameworks. Two of the more popular frameworks today, and the two that are being studied in this paper, are RETS and SATS. RETS is RETTS, the Rapid Emergency Triage and Treatment System, and SATS is SATS, the South African Triage Scale. Let's look at both. RETS was developed in Sweden in the early 2000s. And is a structured and evidence-based triage model designed for high-resource healthcare settings. RETS categorizes patients based on a combination of both vital signs and clinical symptoms. When they arrive at the ER, patients undergo an initial assessment of a few key physiological parameters like heart rate, respiratory rate, blood pressure, oxygen saturation, and temperature. These values are then cross-referenced with a rubric called Emergency Symptoms and Signs, ESS. ESS provides guidelines for interpreting the clinical context of the patient's presentation. The system assigns patients into one of five urgency levels. Each urgency level is designated by a specific color and is mapped to a recommended maximum waiting time. There are red, which is immediate care, orange, which is 20 minutes, yellow, which is 60 minutes, green, which is 240 minutes, and blue, which is non-urgent or administrative. The aim of RETS is to reduce human error and improve the consistency of triage decisions. RETS is particularly effective in well-resourced hospitals where advanced diagnostics and treatment capabilities are readily available. This allows them to rapidly escalate care when necessary. SATS, S-A-T-S by contrast, was developed to address the challenges faced by resource-limited hospitals, particularly in low-income and middle-income countries. It was also introduced in the early 2000s and was designed to provide a simple, cost-effective, and scalable triage solution that could be easily implemented in an ER no matter how busy or understaffed they were. SATS uses a combination of clinical signs and the TEWS system, the Triage Early Warning Score. This is a numeric scoring system based on physiological signs like heart rate, respiratory rate, blood pressure, consciousness level, and mobility. TEWS assigns weighted scores to these parameters, which are then used to determine the patient's triage category. Like RETS, SATS divides patients into 5 color-coded urgency levels. Red is emergency, orange is very urgent, yellow is urgent, green is non-urgent, and blue means that they can wait. That being said, SATS places a greater emphasis on simplicity and rapid decision-making. Rather than a rubric, they rely on a structured flowchart. This allows non-specialist healthcare workers to efficiently assess patient severity. They start at the beginning of the chart. Does the patient exhibit this? Yes, no. Does the patient exhibit that? Yes, no. And they can logically walk to the right urgency level. The system's flexibility and this ease of use makes it particularly well-suited for environments where access to advanced diagnostics is limited. This helps ensure that critically ill patients receive timely intervention despite the hospital's resource constraints. These two systems, RETS and SATS, have been getting implemented and refined and forged through fire for the last 2 decades. At this point, they are hardened and they are lean. There's no cruft or fluff. There are no extra steps. And from the outside, these hyper-streamlined form factors can look overly simplistic. They can appear quaint, outdated, and anachronistic. So it's little wonder that the authors of this paper sought to investigate their accuracy and utility. Specifically, they wanted to identify if either of these systems was consistently either under-triaging or over-triaging any certain set of patients. Their thinking was, since triage misclassification, that is, giving a patient the wrong color code, can have such serious consequences, that it'd be worth building an entire machine learning system that can identify the specific areas that hospitals need to improve, the processes they need to change, and the bottlenecks they need to open up. So here's what they did. They selected 2 hospitals, Bergen University Hospital, which uses SATS, and Trondheim University Hospital, which uses RETS. Then they conducted a multi-center retrospective cohort study that aimed to identify patterns of misclassification and to determine which patient characteristics were most strongly associated with triage misclassifications. So they obtained over 500,000 patient records combined from these 2 hospitals, and then applied a series of pre-processing steps to clean the data, handle missing values, and ensure consistency across both hospital datasets. Then they trained machine learning models to classify cases of under-triage and over-triage, utilizing algorithms like Random Forest and XGBoost. These models were selected due to their ability to handle complex, non-linear relationships within the data and provide interpretable insights. But of course, they had to deal with a very imbalanced class, because cases of triaging misclassifications, that is, under-triage or over-triage, were far less frequent than successes. To address this, they employed the Synthetic Minority Oversampling Technique, SMOTE. This technique generates fake examples for the smaller class to improve model training and prevent bias in predictions. In their analysis, the researchers relied heavily on SHAP, the Shapley Additive Explanation Values. This is an advanced interpretability tool that's used to assess the contribution of each variable in the model's decision-making process. Shapley values provide a way to quantify the impact of different features, that's age, triage level, or time of admission, etc., on the likelihood of a patient being misclassified. The advantage of Shapley explanations lie in the system's game-theoretic approach, which assigns an importance score to each feature based on how much it changes the model's prediction when included or excluded. But, as I said at the top, despite their thorough investigation and the application of sophisticated ML techniques, the researchers ultimately found that instances of misclassification were quite rare. Over-triage almost never happens, and under-triage happens less than a single percentage point of the time. The models, of course, found some corner cases that could be improved, but the dataset, although it's in the thousands, still isn't big enough for corner cases to have discernible meaning. They're phantom problems or intermittent bugs, and they just don't happen frequently enough to justify any modifications to the frameworks. Their overall findings did not indicate any systemic flaws in the triage systems, nor were they able to make a convincing case that the addition of the ML and all the complexity that comes along with it could in any way be justified by the results the ML could obtain. In fact, I'd argue that forcing ER administrators to operate and interpret the results of an ML model running sidecar to the systems they're already operating could likely add such a burden to these already streamlined processes that any upgrade may very well do more harm than good. Any ER that went down this road would, in my opinion, be replacing these tried and true systems purely for the sake of technological advancement. That's what we call solutionism, where complex technology is introduced to solve problems that may not even exist in the first place. Instead of pursuing innovation for its own sake, healthcare providers should probably just focus on incremental improvements that build on existing strengths. They can save their tech upgrades for systems that genuinely enhance rather than disrupt patient care. The takeaway from this paper is not about ML or algorithms or computational complexity. It's about simplicity and pragmatism. If a simple, elegant solution is getting the job done, it really doesn't matter if it's sophisticated or cutting edge or not. It only matters if it works. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.